This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo, episode 58. Well, it's all about pardoning Roger Stone, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Zelinsky and Tamika Hart, both of them in trouble.
No talking points, no spin. It's politics you can't put down. This is Still Standing with Michael Caputo.
Hi, it's Michael Caputo. Thanks for tuning in to Still Standing. I want to remind you, you can sign up for our updates so you know when our newest episode is up at, it's called StillStandingPodcast.com, StillStandingPodcast.com. Boy, I'll tell you, lots going on. Every time I sit here in front of this microphone, I say the same thing. Lots going on. It's amazing what's going on, actually. You know, obviously, those who know me, those who have been listening to my podcast, understand that I'm deeply concerned about the coming sentencing for Roger Stone. Roger Stone is one of my dearest and oldest friends. I've known him since the mid-80s, when I was just knee-high to a bullfrog in the American Republican campaign arena. Ever since I was in my early 20s, Roger and I have worked together innumerable projects. I can't even count them here in the United States and abroad. Candidates, issues, governments. I can't tell you. It's just and I'm telling you, I have always appreciated my relationship with Roger Stone. I have always felt blessed that I know Roger and Nydia Stone and their children. I've always counted them among my closest friends. Nydia is like my big sister. And on January 29th, I guess it was, when Roger Stone was arrested last year, January 29th, 2019, the judge, at the request of the lead prosecutor, a man named Aaron Zelinsky, filed a court order which the judge granted that Roger Stone was not allowed to talk to me, did not tell me why. For all I know, Roger Stone doesn't know why. But I have not been allowed to Roger Stone has not been allowed to contact me for over a year now. I suppose I could contact him if I want to get him in trouble. I'm allowed to talk to his family. His family and I sat together during the trial in November, but we don't speak outside of that, you know, courthouse because, you know, an abundance of caution. We don't want people to say that Michael Caputo and Roger Stone are talking via Nydia Stone or their daughter, Adria, two people I know and love. So not only am I cut off from my very dear friend, Roger, I'm cut off from my big sister, Nydia, and my sister, Adria, who I love dearly. They're suffering like you can't believe. It's abysmal. That's why myself and a bunch of Roger's oldest and dearest friends, Nydia's oldest and dearest friends, have formed a committee that's called PardonRogerJStone.org. PardonRogerJStone.org. We call it the Pardon Roger Stone Committee. I am the only public person. This is such a terrible environment. All of the people on the committee wish to remain anonymous. We are, however, all closing ranks around the Stone family. Among this committee, I am the only one that is not permitted to talk to Roger. But what's interesting is this. While Aaron Zelinsky, Esquire scumbag, and the judge in this case issued the court order that basically isolated Roger Stone and I, they also created an opportunity because anyone who talks to Roger is not allowed to speak to the media about his case. That's what the gag order says. If somebody, let's say, for example, one of his friends from media says, I spoke to Roger Stone and he told me this, it's over for Roger. He goes to jail immediately because of his gag order, which, by the way, of course, is a denial of his First Amendment rights. It's a denial of my First Amendment rights. But I even requested to have this court order lifted before the holidays so I could spend time with the Stones. My family and I have spent holiday time with the Stones off and on over the years. That's a really great time, actually. Roger makes the best Sunday gravy. The best Sunday gravy. Meaty stuff. Fresh tomatoes oftentimes. Just an amazing sauce that he has made since he was a kid. I can't tell you how many times on a Sunday I've been snuck over to his house in Fort Lauderdale, hung by the pool, and waited for his gravy to be ready. No more of Stone's Sunday gravy. But now, after sitting through his trial and watching as his friends coalesced and closed ranks around him, we have begun the Stone Pardon Committee. Again, it is pardonrogerjstone.org. Our job is the following. It is to, one, raise money for Roger's legal appeal. We'll talk about a little more of that in a minute. Number two, to raise money to take care of his family, especially Nidia. They are absolutely destitute, which, by the way, shocks me, of course, because when I met Roger, he was on the top of the world, being a close advisor to Ronald Reagan. I met him in, I guess, 1985. And watched his career take off. He's had some bumps in his career, but I always respected his ability to make money. I mean, he's always done well. Even in the tough times, he's done well. But now they don't have a kopeck. They don't have a penny. They don't have anything, not a peso. They have nothing. And with Roger going to jail, Nidia has a limited ability in her 70s to make money. They have no health insurance. They are destitute. So our second job is to raise money to take care of Nidia and the family if Roger is incarcerated, and it looks increasingly likely that he will be. More about that in a moment. But our committee is really trying to build the case for Roger's pardon. Not a pardon that must wait until after the election, but clemency in some shape or form immediately. To do that, we put together a petition at MAGAPetition.org. Why MAGAPetition.org and not, you know, change.org, petitions.com, whatever, these other organizations? I'll tell you why. Because those organizations throttled previous petitions that were calling for a pardon of Roger Stone. All of them basically throttled in their infancy. You wouldn't see one or two signatures a day. Even the petition at the White House seems to have been shut down. The Pardon Roger Stone petitions were not working. We could not figure out why. So we decided to start a whole new website. A very dear friend of Roger's, who is a very, very talented IT guy, a very talented information security guy, hell of a genius when it comes to this stuff, built MAGAPetition.org and tried to float Roger's petition on the Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google platforms, and got shut down, got throttled. So he took it outside those typical platforms to do digital marketing at bigger websites. And in two days, we got 100,000 signatures on the Pardon Roger Stone petition at MAGAPetition.org. Believe me, that's remarkable after we've seen all of these conservative petitions, even the petitions for General Flynn, etc., get absolutely mired in shadow banning and the like at these popular platforms, social media platforms. But after hitting 100,000, Twitter recognized that this is a popular traffic-driving petition, so they are now sending us about 1,000 signers every couple of every hour or so. 1,000. We are now, I believe, at 116,000 signatures. I think the largest petition out there calling for the president's action to help one of the families ruined by the Russia hoax. Roger Stone and Nidia Stone and their family are the final victims of the Russia hoax. They're the final casualties of the House, Senate, and Mueller investigations that were designed to destroy Donald Trump. And I'll tell you what, they tried this hoax, the Russia hoax, and could not get Trump. They couldn't do it. Tried to get to him all these different angles. I know because they interrogated me in the House, the Senate, and the Mueller team, Aaron Zelensky in particular, interrogated me and could not get to Trump. So they basically settled for getting to Roger Stone. They got Michael Cohen, but Michael Cohen turned on the president, basically gave in to the pressure from the Mueller team, the illegal pressure, no doubt, the threats to go after his family, no doubt. And Michael Cohen, for whatever reason, turned on his boss of several years. That was not going to happen with Roger Stone. Roger Stone would rather die first, and the prosecutors, Aaron Zelensky and his brethren, Aaron, out of the Mueller investigation, decided, okay, well, if you're willing to die for Donald Trump, we're happy to oblige you. They wanted to put him into jail for the rest of his life. PardonRogerJStone.org. You can find the petition on that website, but please, if you want to help Roger Stone in these dire times, if you want to help us build the case for Roger Stone's pardon, it is PardonRogerJStone.org. But I want to tell you that our primary mission and our most important mission is to build that case, prove the support through a petition that Roger has, not the fake petition, the throttled petitions that have honest to God good signatures on them. They were shut down. But on the MAGAPetition.org site, to build, we're hoping, hundreds of thousands of signatures to show to the president that Roger enjoys the clemency concept for Roger enjoys support among the president's followers. But also to provide an avenue for contact and for discussion with the Trump family. If the president, if the White House, and when the White House feels that a pardon or a clemency discussion of some sort is necessary, we're standing by to be contacted by the White House. And at this point, this is a legally perilous issue. A mutual friend of the president's and Rogers told me I should not get involved, not because it is not a good idea, but because after all my family's been through, if I go out and try to help Roger's pardon along, many things can happen. One, I could be targeted. I've already been targeted. I'm not all that scared. I don't break the law. But number two, because this is a rather fragile issue, pardon, clemency, you know, commutation, even people with the best of intentions can break it. When I say break it, you know, the president may be thinking of having commuting the sentence for Roger, or, you know, pardoning Roger, or some clemency of some sort, combination of the two, whoever. If I get in the middle of it, maybe I break the fragile process. This is a concern of mine. You know, I'm someone who tends to go out swinging on behalf of the president, on behalf of Roger, on behalf of the things that I believe in. And if I'm not careful, I can really bust this up. So I could be targeted. I could mess it up without knowing. It's something, I'm not a lawyer. I need to I'm advised by lawyers in this, but it's every step in this process is a meditation. And I need your support. Our committee needs your support. Some of the members of the committee may come out of, privacy in the future, but they're scared. Frankly, I'm scared too. But our family decided that we love Roger and Edia. We support Roger, Nidia, Audrey, everybody in the Stone family, their grandkids, all of them. I mean, Roger's grandkids are in their 20s. It's an amazing family. I love them all. Roger, you know, he brings out the best in people. He brings out the worst in people. People think that he is some kind of a dirty, you know, rotten, nasty guy. He's not. I've known him for years. He's one of the most, you know, caring and generous people I've ever met. But because he defeats people, that's his business. He makes enemies, and some of them, they want him dead. Others just want him in jail for the rest of his life. Those who love him, those who are closing ranks around him, will not stand for this. We will stand up on his behalf. We have put together this pardon outreach committee for his supporters, for people who want to give generously to support his efforts, his family, but also to build the case for the president. To give the Stone family and Roger Stone the honor of presidential clemency. Let me tell you something. The pardon, the commutation, presidential clemency, this is a sacrosanct duty of the president and, of course, of many governors as well. The pardon was not designed for innocent people. Pardon and commutation, presidential clemency, was designed for innocent people, but chiefly for guilty people, for people that the president feels has served their time, has paid their debt to society, or he believes was unfairly targeted because in many fashions, because of their relationship with him. Certainly in the Russia hoax, General Flynn, Carter Page, J.D. Gordon, others, Roger Stone particularly, were targeted because he was targeted because he knows Donald Trump, because their families are friends. Again, the The website is pardonrogerjstone.org. The petition, you can find the link on that website. Please sign the petition. Please give if you can. I've got more details I want to talk about after this quick break. Oh, Mueller prosecutor Aaron Zelinsky. If you're listening, and I know you are because you can't help it because you hate me, you need to stick around after the break, Aaron, because I got something for you.
Still standing. Still Standing will be right back with Michael Caputo.
Well, welcome back to Still Standing. I'm Michael Caputo. Thanks for listening in. Coming back after the break. Those breaks are designed to give me a moment, but at the same time, they're there for eventual advertisers. We've been at this now since, oh gosh, I don't know. Well, this is our 58th episode, so it's been a while. I do them once a week. For a little while, I took a break because of writing my book and my film, which I'll talk about later. But episode 58, so I've been at this for over a year. And I'm not stopping. I've got a couple thousand listeners. I really appreciate that. I'm hoping to get to a point where I can get some advertisers. That's why I put those little donut holes in this thing. We'll see if those donut holes ever get filled. I'm new to this whole podcast thing. Well, I mean, I guess I've been at it for a year, but podcasts and supporting them independently are difficult. And I hope I can count on your support at patreon.com. But of course, sign up at stillstandingpodcast.com at least for updates as to when we post a new episode. And when I say we, I do mean we. I'm not the Pope or some kind of politician talking in the third person. It's me and my producer, Sean Dwyer, who works for me at my PR firm. Sean is in this to try to build it as well. I really appreciate Sean's work. Thumbs up. Thanks, Sean. I did say when I began this thing or at the end of the last segment that I want to talk about Aaron Zelinsky, and this is important because Aaron Zelinsky was a Mueller prosecutor. Before a Mueller investigation, worked at the Baltimore U.S. Attorney's Office. Before that, Aaron Zelinsky was a bird watcher in the Negev Desert in Israel. That was his last job before the U.S. Attorney, a bird watcher in the Negev Desert in Israel. His job before that, he was a sailor, a crewman, on a tall ship in Brazil. Does this sound like the kind of jobs you had? No, it doesn't. He never really had a job. Never really worked. Never broke a sweat. Maybe he cut a lawn, but he didn't build a house. He didn't pave a road. He didn't dig a ditch. He didn't do anything difficult. He sailed tall ships and watched birds in the desert. You know why? Because he is a third-generation Yale Law School legacy. Grandpa went there. Dad went there. Dad teaches there, at least did. And because your forebears went there, you get into Yale automatically. I don't know. Maybe he was bright. He could be. Could be book smart or whatever. But he's his third-generation legacy Yale Law School graduate. So you have to assume that Silver Spoon is way up his ass. Way up. I can't tell you. I seethe when I think about Aaron Zelinsky. I seethe. Cannot stand him. He interrogated me at the Mueller investigation, but he really was targeting Roger, and he was harassing Roger. This guy was just seething over Roger. You could tell whenever he spoke Roger's name, he would bare his teeth. He would gnash his teeth in his sleep over Roger Stone. Hated him. When I was interrogated at the Mueller investigation, it was Aaron Zelinsky. I think I should say that with my teeth clenched. Aaron Zelinsky. Like, because don't those, all those Connecticut people talk with their teeth clenched, lovey? Aaron Zelinsky. And two FBI agents, both actually were pretty nice guys, the FBI guys. They didn't say much in the interrogation, but Aaron did. And he had an attitude the whole time. Man, he had an attitude. He didn't like me. Did not like me. Luckily, I was in my interrogation with a much smarter lawyer than him. My attorney, Dennis Vacco of Lippis Mathis here in Buffalo, was U.S. attorney for Western New York and the New York State Attorney General for a time. I'll tell you, Dennis Vaco housed Aaron Zelensky, spanked him in our interrogation. I write about it in a book. My forthcoming book is out in August. It's not the book I have that's coming out next week, but a book coming out in August, which is more of a memoir. I spend a good part of a chapter or two on Zelensky. He is an odious human being. Just a bully, arrogant, hates, and looks down his nose at you. And just an awful person. But just like the werewolves of London, his hair is perfect. I can't stand the guy. Well, Aaron Zelensky, who prosecuted Roger Stone, interrogated me, failed in his attempt to trap me in a perjury trap so that I would sign off on lies about Roger Stone so they could force Roger to sign off on lies about Donald Trump. That string, that strategy, that tactic stopped with me. My attorney, Dennis Vaco, housed, whooped ass on Aaron Zelensky for many reasons. First of all, he's not a good attorney. Second of all, his face, he couldn't play poker. When something happens that he doesn't like, his face just falls like a cake. It just falls, just collapses. And when he tried to trap me in his bogus perjury trap, and my attorney helped me stay out of it by chiefly, you know, answering, you know, truthfully, his face just fell. He's a terrible attorney. When he did his opening statement at Roger's trial, he was actually standing in front of the jury box before the jury come in front of all the people who were spectators in the trial, practicing his opening statement, practicing it. It was hilarious to watch. And as he was practicing it under his breath, walking back and forth in front of the empty jury box, he was chopping the air with his hands like you know, tomahawks. Every word had a hand gesture. Right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. When Roger did this, right hand, left hand, you could almost hear his brain going, right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. By the end of his opening statement, the entire place was laughing. His table of prosecutors had to be completely embarrassed. Right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. Just the dumbest, most foolish presentation I've ever seen. Just, it was hilarious. He's a terrible lawyer. But in the end, he was the holdover, one of two holdovers. Adam Zed, I think, is the other guy. I never spoke to Adam Zed. I don't know if he's a good guy, bad guy. He had a pretty awful look on his face of hatred toward Roger Stone. And then the other two guys were U.S. attorneys from the Washington office. I didn't know them. One of them actually from Buffalo, New York, poor Mark Mirando, who has now resigned along with Aaron Zelensky. Aaron Zelensky went to the Department of Justice to brief his superiors. Yes, Aaron, I know you're listening. Your superiors, people you work for, your bosses, and you deceived them, Aaron. You lied to your bosses. You briefed them on a much lower a sentencing request, according to the DOJ, a much lower sentencing request than the one that you presented to the judge. And I looked at the filings that he put forward, and I can tell you exactly what he did. Zelensky, I'm not an attorney, never want to be one. But I do work with attorneys a lot, not just the ones who represent me, but also my PR firm, what used to be a PR firm. They've pretty much destroyed my company. We have a couple employees left. We have a few clients. They taught me that you it's a point system. It's a point system. When you are going for sentencing, you're found guilty of this, this is so many points against you. Found guilty of this is so many points against you. And your points that add up basically put you in a zone for a sentence that is going to be recommended by the prosecution. Roger's score was 14 by any stretch of the imagination. 14. Really, 14. And then when I'm sure that's actually the 14 points is probably what Aaron Zelensky represented to the DOJ, to his bosses, his superiors. And then Aaron went ahead and packed more points onto that score. Really? Packed more points on that score. Took it from 14 to 29 by adding, for example, 8 points because he threatened and frightened Randy Credico. Well, first of all, Randy Credico said in the court and in a letter to the judge that he wasn't frightened for a minute, that he never felt threatened once, that you shouldn't put Roger Stone in jail for what he said to me, because that's the way Roger and I talk to each other. Stop it. Don't do it. You're overreacting. Well, they added 8 points for that. They got the point score to 29 points, would put Roger right in the 7-9 year zone. That would put Roger close to his 80s. The president tweeted yesterday or the day before that an insider that was connected did far more than Roger Stone on similar charges and got 2 months. 2 months! Roger Stone didn't rape anybody. Rapists get 4 years. Roger Stone didn't murder anybody. That's about what, 7-9 years, some murderers get that. Roger Stone has never been violent. He's never been charged. I don't even think he's ever had a speeding ticket. 7-9 years. Well, the president saw that, and just as I thought he would, he flipped out. He flipped out just like I flipped out. Let me tell you something. I've known the president since the late 80s. Roger Stone has known him since before that. Roger Stone and the president had a legendary relationship that waxed and waned, but is mostly close and friendly. Sometimes they argued, but they always came back together as friends, just like you and your friends do. But they are close. And I know the president well enough to know, even though people out there hate him, and when he's at battle, when he's at a war like he is right now, he is brutal in his response to people who attack him. Let me tell you something. What you see the president doing right now, this is classic rebound Trump. If you ever watch what the president did when the Atlantic City failed and the casinos there failed, he rebounded. He did the exact same thing. Donald Trump, they dropped the ball. They dropped the ball in front of Donald Trump when they lost the Russia hoax, when the Mueller investigation came out and found that nobody conspired with Russia at all. And then the inspector general comes out and says, you know, this whole thing is predicated on lies and misrepresentation and changed documents, forgeries. They were presented to the FISA court as proof of the need for a surveillance. And of course, the court gave it to them because they rubber stamp everything. They lied. I mean, these DOJ people who are prosecuting Roger Stone and others started by breaking the law themselves. When you are an attorney and you knowingly lie and sign off on a FISA warrant request, you are lying to a judge. You must be disbarred. Of course, they weren't. They won't even be punished. But this whole bogus investigation ran over people like a tank. And the last victim, the last casualty of the bogus Russia investigation is Roger Stone, who was found guilty of lying about a crime that did not exist. He found guilty of intimidating a witness that did not feel intimidated. Apparently, Aaron Zelensky thought it was an intimidating thing. Here's the thing. You know, one of the things that Aaron Zelensky and these guys were laying out there, that Roger said to Randy Credico was, prepare to die. When Randy refused to take the fifth or whatever the argument was that day in their emails, Roger said, prepare to die. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If I search my emails from Roger Stone with, in quotations, prepare to die, I probably have a dozen of them. You know why? Because Stone quotes movies all the time. One of his favorites is The Princess Bride. Remember that quote? Prepare to die.
Hello. My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die.
That is Mandy Patinkin, I think his name is. Prepare to die. So that Aaron Zelensky, who apparently has never watched Princess Bride, laid that out there as a threat. It's not a threat. Let me tell you something. That's how Roger is. And I'll tell you another thing. If Aaron Zelinsky was a little older and he was one of Roger Stone's friends, he'd melt down like a little tiny snowflake. Can you imagine if that fragile little soul, that silver spoon, Connecticut bred bird watcher and tall ship sailor, can you imagine how he would react if his old buddy Roger Stone said, "Prepare to die"? He'd probably run to the police and turn his friend in because he's a pussy. Aaron Zelinsky is a pussy. I know you're listening, Aaron. Go fuck yourself. Aaron Zelinsky couldn't understand Roger Stone, Randy Cretico, Michael Caputo, Andrew Miller, any of us, Kristen Dee, any of the people around Roger Stone, because he was born with a silver spoon up his ass. Aaron Zelinsky targeted Roger Stone because he hated people like Roger. He hates people that aren't to the manor born, who aren't third-generation Yale Law School legacy graduates. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, legacies don't have to come up with quite the grade point average that normal people do, that normals do. Aaron Zelinsky got into Yale because of his daddy and his grandpa. Aaron Zelinsky got into the Department of Justice because his dad recommended him to somebody in Baltimore, don't know who. But he didn't get in there because he's a bird watcher. He didn't get in there because he's a tall ship sailor. No. No, he got in because daddy called. Aaron, you prick. So Aaron goes ahead and pads the score, goes with 7-9. You know why? Because he wanted to shove it up somebody's ass one last time. Let me tell you, when Aaron Zelinsky interrogated me on May 2nd of 2018, he absolutely believed that Vladimir Putin was sitting in the bedroom, in the Lincoln bedroom in the White House. He absolutely believed in Russian collusion. By then, we know from the Inspector General's office that nobody else did. Nobody else in the Mueller team. If they were believing it, they were sniffing their own farts. But Aaron Zelinsky, just the kind of dullard who would believe this stuff and march forward blindly. The problem with a dullard like Zelinsky is that he's got aspirations. Daddy's a teacher. Daddy's a partner at a law firm. And that's what Sonny wants. He wants to be a multi-million dollar partner at a law firm. So he was going to shove this up somebody's backside one last time on his way out the door. The last victim, the last casualty of the Mueller investigation, of the Russia hoax that was designed to get Trump, failed to get Trump. And Zelinsky thought it was his job. To the manor born, Yale Law School, silver spoon in his rectum. All those years sailing tall ships, watching birds in the Negev Desert. I must do this. I must get Roger Stone. Because if I imprison Roger Stone, I imprison Donald Trump. And then Aaron wants to go and take that resume to Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe and become a partner for his million-dollar partnership at Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. God bless it. God bless Donald Trump. Because this is not the first time somebody ran up the score for a sentencing. Happens all the time. I'll tell you, maybe not all the time, but all kinds of dishonest brokers at the U.S. Attorney's Office, all around the Department of Justice, do this kind of crap. Because it's the deep state. Because it's the swamp. Because these people feel superior. They know they're right and that you're wrong. And even if you're not wrong, it is their win-loss record. It is a win that they will have. They will fight to get another win, whether you're guilty or not. Aaron Zelinsky needed a win. Adam Zed needed a win. Mark Maradona needed a win. Ladies and gentlemen, they would have burned Roger Stone's house down with his family in it to get a win. Just to stand over the fire and roast marshmallows talking about how this really was getting Donald Trump. Now Aaron Zelinsky's plans to go to Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe for $1 million a year may be thwarted. I don't know. There's so many leftists out there, Bromwich and the rest of this lawfare gang, working for multi-million dollar law firms with their partnerships. He'd probably fall right into it. I can tell you one thing. Aaron Zelensky now quit, actually fired. He was forced to quit. I know for a fact that he and all those prosecutors who just wanted to shove it up Donald Trump's butt one more time, who lied to their bosses at the Department of Justice, who gave a death sentence to Roger Stone for nothing, for a crime that doesn't exist, they're gone. Thank God they're gone. They are gone forever. Ever and ever. Maybe they're still at the Department of Justice, but if they pop their heads up again, we're going to know who they are. We're going to know that they lied to their superiors. We're going to know that they did this to get Trump. We're going to know exactly who they are. Exactly. And Aaron, if you're listening, get that application in a Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, my friend. Because, my God, Mike, there is a warm place in hell for you, you scumbag. A warm place in hell. And you had the balls to convince the other three people on your team to follow you to hell. Well, you ruined their careers too, Aaron. Way to go. You know why you did it? Because you're just not smart, my friend. Dennis Vacco, my attorney, turned you inside out. I watched him as he disassembled you in that interrogation. You were scared of him. Well, I'll tell you what. What you did, 7 to 9 years, lying to your superiors, running up the score, that might have worked in another administration. But it would never work in the Trump administration. He's got your number. He's got your number. And he's just starting. Classic rebound Donald Trump. He's going to beat you when he gets the ball. He's going to beat you. He's going to beat you again and again and again. And he's going to keep beating you until he can't beat you anymore. Hopefully, it's after the November elections. But Aaron, you are grist in that mill. You have been chewed up and spit out. Welcome to Trumpville, my friend. We will not tolerate this anymore because the president's got the ball. And you... you're gone.
Still standing. Still Standing will be right back with Michael Caputo.
We discussed earlier, we founded the Pardon Roger J. Stone Committee, pardonrogerjstone.org. Where we're raising money for Stone's appeal for his family in case he's incarcerated, and we're building the case for Roger Stone's pardon. But all of this, none of this would be possible. All of this is only possible because of the people who support us. We call the people who donate at patreon.com our executive producers, because even though we're just starting this thing, well, we've been at it for a year, but hopefully it'll build. Every little bit helps, and there are people who donate a little bit every month at patreon.com, sustaining supporters of Still Standing. We call them our executive producers, like, for example, Denise Vassallo DeJean. Denise DeJean is somebody I know and I love. Her and her husband are great people. William Preble, John Seifert, Henry Wotazik, Susan Havey, Sonia Carlin, Thomas Fulton, Samantha Lynn, hey Samantha, Jack Bromwich, Jordan Gostomsky, Susan Stevens, Julie, Brian Pizdursky, all these are my executive producers, Patty Freeling, Bill Grant, Mark Berry, my old buddy, Gary Stokes, Brent Sheehan, Brian Magnus, Catherine Barzicki, Frank Butry, hi Frank, Scott McRae, and Stephen Flaminio, who I've known for a while. All of you guys, my God, I can't thank you enough for your support, my executive producers. I will always appreciate this. I see some of these people now and then. They run up to me and say, hey, I'm one of your executive producers. God, I love when you do that. Please do come up to me when you see me out and about. We don't get out and about all that much. A couple of a five-year-old and a seven-year-old and tend to stay around the house. But now that my book is coming out and my film is out and about, I'm back on a plane now and then. I just traveled to the University of Miami on Monday to give a talk at a political science course. There was great, 250 kids, swear to God, 50-50 Trump, anti-Trump. University of Miami is a very cool place. I ran into some people I actually know there. It was a great experience. And, you know, they just invited me. I couldn't help it. University of Miami is one of my favorite places. I love it. It's a very cool school. I never went there. My sister went there, but I always I went down to the campus once in a while when I lived in Miami, lectured a couple times, getting an invitation. A professor named Fernand. I don't know if he'd want me to use his full name, but he was very cool about it. Fernand was actually a Democratic pollster down in Miami, and couldn't have been fairer. Couldn't have been more fair. It was a lot of fun. I'll be going back to Florida for more speaking engagements very soon. But gosh, I really appreciate the support from our executive producers, the feedback I get at stillstandingpodcast.com. One of the people who just wrote to me at stillstandingpodcast.com is a 76-year-old conservative listener named Kathleen, and she writes in via email, Dear Michael, I look forward to your podcast and miss them when you took time off. Keep up the good work. I enjoy the stories you tell about your younger days, along with your opinions and coverage of daily happenings. I pray for you and your family and all those who, along with you, seek the truth and justice. And Kathleen, please pray for Roger and Nydia. Please pray for Roger and Nydia, but I'll always take your prayers. I write about this in my forthcoming book, not the book that's just coming out now, but Faith, my parish, my Catholic parish, along with my strong family and my wife especially. My faith is what got us through this bogus Russia hoax. I know Roger Stone, his close relationship with God, has been counseled by some godly men and women. I'm thankful that he's rekindled this faith. These are very difficult times for them. Please pray for Roger and Nydia Stone. Another message via Patreon from one of my Patreon supporters, Milton in Toronto. Hi, Michael. I'm just getting cut up on episode 54, and it was so good that I decided to up my contribution. Your show really does keep getting better and better. This one in particular was fun to listen to several weeks later, as so much happened since then, and your insight aged so well. Please accept my best wishes to you and your family, Milton in Toronto. Yeah, you know, all I do is talk about the things that I believe. I believe what I do because of my experience. I've worked in I worked in Capitol Hill for a long time. I worked in presidential elections for a long time. I worked in international politics for a long time. I just wrote a book called The Ukraine Hoax. The book itself tracks the history of what U.S.-Ukraine relations and how we basically built a regime that would fill that would enrich the children of America's elite, like Hunter Biden at Burisma, made $5 million across 5 years. $5 million, and the guy could not spell gas if you spotted him a G and an S. But we also, the Biden and Obama administration groomed the president and his administration in Ukraine, President Poroshenko, to interfere in the American elections. And I build that case in my book, The Ukraine Hoax. And I think if you read my book, if you watch my film, watch the film first. If it interests you, you'll find all the details in my book. If the film is, 8,500 words, 50 minutes, not exactly how to measure a movie, 8,500 words. The book is 53,000 words. So you see the difference in detail. I would urge you to go to theukrainehoax.com, pick up my book, which is in pre-sale there, and my film, which you can get digitally immediately. The book will be on Amazon when it's released on March 1st, sold in a package or shrink-wrapped with my film. But I attended Roger's trial, even though I couldn't speak to him. Roger and I have not been able to speak. He's been forbidden to contact me since he was arrested. Still can't, even though the trial's over. Why is that? I don't know. But thankfully, I don't speak to him because now I can speak for the committee to pardon Roger Stone. Remember, that's pardonrogerjstone.org. While I was at the trial, I sat there for what they call voir dire, which is the jury selection. It's a process when jurors, potential jurors, can sit down and they're interviewed. They first fill out a form, a jury interview form that's custom made for the jury to make sure that people understand that they're qualified to even be interviewed by the judge and the lawyers. And one of the jurors named Tamika Hart, we didn't know it then, Tamika Hart, H-A-R-T, an African-American woman with closely shaven hair on her head. I think it was somebody, Cernovich or somebody said, you see somebody with really close cropped hair, doesn't matter what race or whatever, some woman with close cropped hair, that's somebody you got to watch out for in a liberal versus conservative discussion. Tamika Hart was the Memphis City school bureaucrat. And she filled out her jury media about posting what she posted. What does she think of Donald Trump? Can she be, you know, unbiased with a Trump associate? And even though her questionnaire is, I think it's still sealed by court order, she answered apparently in the negative that she didn't post or didn't say much and didn't care much about Trump and really thought she could be unbiased. So she sat for the interview, which I saw. I sat live in the watching the jury selection, voir dire. And she was asked a question, what's your opinion of Trump? Well, I don't really follow it that much. It's not my focus in life. She did talk about how she served on the school board in Tennessee, ran for United States Congress. And the judge in this case, Amy Berman Jackson, they bounce him. The judge will bounce him. Thanks for coming. Thanks for responding to the jury request. We're not going to need you. Best wishes. And then that group of, you know, larger group of people, they choose 14, or I don't know, 12, 14, whatever the number was. They chose jurors and alternates from that group. When I saw Tomika Hart answer those questions, Jack Posobiec of OAN leaned over to me and he said, he was in the, in the audience section, and he said, that is a problem. Tomika Hart is a problem. Now, Jack, many people don't know, is a trained intelligence agent. He knows how to look out for certain things in human intelligence. He identified Tomika Hart as a problem. Well, we didn't know it at the time, but Tomika Hart was selected and then began to lobby to be a jury foreman. She had told us that she was jury foreman in Tennessee before. I assume Tennessee, but a previous jury foreman who ran for Congress as a Democrat, the body that Roger Stone was alleged to have lied to, was picked for the jury. My understanding was Roger's team wanted to knock her out and was disallowed. I don't know if that's true, but that's my understanding that I've read in independent media. Well, so we know that Tomika Hart was on a charm offensive in the jury. She was the favorite juror of a white guy on the jury. Sure, she was the favorite juror of everyone. Well, when those four prosecutors who lied to their superiors and then submitted a recommendation of 7 to 9 years, which was overturned by the Department of Justice, and they put in what a score of 14, like I talked about in the last segment, the real score of Roger's guilt was 14, not 29. And the DOJ said, enough of that. Donald Trump tweeted about it, but we're going to find out. He says that he never spoke to DOJ about it, but today, A.G. Barr said, man, those tweets make my job hard. I believe it does. But those tweets are necessary. You see the sentence that Paul Manafort got, an unfair sentence in my mind. Donald Trump tweeted once about it after the sentencing. But when the 7 to 9 was put in, Donald Trump, I think he's on his 25th tweet about Roger Stone right now. That, to me, is the chairman of the Pardon Outreach Committee for Roger. But Tomika Hart was so pissed when these four resigned one after the other. When that happened, when they all resigned, Tomika Hart came out on Facebook and said, I can't hold it back anymore. I was the jury foreman. These men did their job. They're patriots, whatever, whatever, right? So she couldn't help anymore. She had to take credit because Tomika, in her heart, wants to be in Congress. She said to the judge that she'll probably run again in the voir dire interview. I ran for Congress and I'll probably run again someday. Well, now Tomika comes out and defends these four patriots, bird watchers, tall ship sailors. Cernovich goes out there and goes into Tomika Hart's social media platforms and finds a whole host of anti-Trump tweets where she calls all Trump supporters are racist. An African-American woman tells a judge she's not going to have any problem being unbiased in judgment of a Trump supporter who on Twitter she called a racist. When she was in jury duty, she was tweeting Politico articles, Politico.com articles, not about Roger Stone, but she wasn't supposed to be reading media coverage of the trial. Avoid it, the judge instructed them. But she was on Politico. Tomika Hart lied. If somebody who wrote what she did on Twitter answered her questionnaire honestly, she would have been bounced. So you have to assume she wasn't truthful in her interview. She wasn't truthful from the jury box as she was being interviewed face-to-face. I watched her. I don't really think about Donald Trump. I can be unbiased when it comes to standing in judgment of one of his supporters, a woman who hates Donald Trump. She's the jury foreman on a charm offensive, but every single person on that jury was a Democrat. Democrats viscerally opposed Donald Trump with a foreman who thinks Roger Stone is a racist, found him guilty. Ladies and gentlemen, Tomeka Hart, look it up. Google this woman, T-O-M-E-K-H-A-R-T. Tomeka Hart is an example of what happens to a Republican when they're judged by the Democrats of D.C. This, let me tell you, if Aaron Zelensky should be disbarred, and I believe he should be disbarred for the way that he acts, for the way that he bullies, for the way that he uses government power to destroy people, Aaron Zelensky needs to be disbarred. This trial needs to be a mistrial. Tomeka Hart couldn't resist her coming out party in support of attorneys that should be disbarred. Tomeka Hart revealed herself. Independent journalist Mike Cernovich, Michael Cernovich, at Cernovich, C-E-R-N-O-V-I-C-H, on Twitter, exposed Tomeka Hart for what she is. She's a member of the resistance, jury foreman on the Stone trial. An absolute travesty. Every single member of that jury needs to be interviewed by prosecutors to find out how Tomeka Hart operated in the jury room. Tomeka Hart needs to be charged for making false statements on her jury questionnaire, for lying under oath from the jury box when being interviewed by attorneys. I don't really think of Donald Trump, even though I've tweeted about him 100 times. I'm going to be able to be unbiased with a supporter of his, even though I've called him a racist. Tomeka Hart is what's wrong with this country, ladies and gentlemen. Aaron Zelensky is what's wrong with this country, ladies and gentlemen. And both of them flipped off their nation, gave the middle finger to America when they conducted their duties, which are sacrosanct. A U.S. attorney, a federal prosecutor, needs to be above reproach. And Aaron Zelensky is beneath contempt. A jury, a member of a jury needs to be unbiased and fair. A foreman of a jury needs to be above reproach. Tomeka Hart is beneath contempt. Ladies and gentlemen, Roger Stone needs to be pardoned. More than that, he needs a mistrial. More than that, Aaron Zelensky needs to be disbarred. Tomeka Hart needs to be investigated. That entire jury needs to be interviewed by prosecutors. We need to get to the bottom of this. The swamp. Swamp monsters. Tomeka Hart, Aaron Zelensky. Swamp monsters. Are we going to get justice here? I don't know. I don't believe you can get justice in a Washington, D.C. court. Especially when jury foremen lie to their superiors. That February 20th date needs to be delayed. And it needs to be delayed immediately, because both sides, the new prosecutors and the defense, need to prepare, because now we know that Tomeka Hart lied her way into the jury, lied her way to the foremanship, and there should be a mistrial. Absolutely. Michael Caputo here, ladies and gentlemen. Remember, it's stillstandingpodcast.com. Remember the petition I need you to sign to support Roger Stone so that we can present that to White House is at magapetition.org. And if you want to take a look at my book, The Ukraine Hoax, which I'll talk about in a future podcast, I couldn't talk about it today. The only topic on my mind is Roger Stone.